Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Joshua chapter 14, Joshua also chapter 1, verse 12 of chapter 14, Caleb says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced." One translation says they were fortified, they were strong. "If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said." But I want you to zone in on Caleb's declaration. "Now therefore, give me this mountain." In Joshua chapter 1, verse 11, "Go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own." That's for you and those connected to you. Somebody say, "Give me my mountain." Praise God. You may be seated. This is the second installment in Possess, taking the ground that God has promised. How many of you know that God has promised us great things as believers? Oh, that's a good place to say amen. If you don't know the promise, you'll probably never possess the promise. So let me ask that again. How many of you know that God has given great things for us to possess, great promises? And one of the reasons we are here tonight is not just for the things, but to draw close to the one that promised. The relationship with the promisor is so much more important than possessing the promise. And there's so many of us that get focused on what God has promised that we forget that we have a direct line with Jesus, praise God. That we have a direct line with the promise maker and the promise keeper. And so when we hear the phrase, "Give me my mountain," if you grew up in church, I'm sure you've heard sermons and you've heard series on this very topic where Caleb, at an advanced age compared to everyone else, said, "This is what God promised me, and I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of praying about it. I'm tired." How many of you know you can see a mountain far away? "I'm tired of looking at it. It's time that I possess it." So let's bring it to where you are. In 2023, March 1st, you're tired of praying about it. You're tired of just declaring it. You're tired of seeing it far away. This is your season to possess, to live in, to live on, and to take hold and embrace what God has put in your spirit so that you can actually see it become a part of your life. In this series, we will identify what ground is yours. We will also discuss that just because God gives you the land doesn't mean that there's not going to be a struggle or a fight for you to take ownership. Know that giants occupy the land that God has promised, meaning this: you can't avoid a fight. If you are going to receive the promises of God, you cannot avoid a fight. And when we talk about a fight, we are not talking about flesh and blood. We are talking about spiritual warfare. If you don't know that there are spiritual attacks, you are on the losing end. The biggest battles you will ever face are not with your fists. They're not with your mother-in-law. They're not with your enemies here on this earth. The greatest battles you will ever face are spiritual battles between your ears and between your elbows, when the enemy is doing everything he can do to keep you from possessing what God has promised. Remember this, church. The greatest promises that God has promised cannot be seen with the naked eye and cannot be held and touched with your hands. The greatest promises of God are spiritual things: joy unspeakable, peace that passes understanding, His anointing, His spirit. All of the greatest gifts of God are not the tangible things, but yet the spiritual things. So the enemy does not fight you in a tangible way. Oh, you say, "Oh man, the enemy does fight me in a very real and physical way." Those are symptoms, but the source is a spiritual source. That's why you can't fight with your in-laws. You've got to pray for them. You got to fast for them. You say, why would I fast for them? Because Jesus said, those kind of devils don't come out but by prayer and fasting. Just look straight ahead. Don't even look at the spouse right now. The greatest fights that we fight are spiritual battles for spiritual blessing and promises. Understand that you are taking ground for you and your family. As we sang tonight, the blessing, and we talked about generations and your children and their children and their children. Just in a song, I began to think about Tyler's future kids and Jaden's future kids. But then they sang another line that said, their children and their children. Then I started thinking about Tyler's kids, and Jaden's kids, for 1,000 generations. In 2023, we measure a generation by 25 years. In biblical times, they measured a generation by 40 years. So we stood in 2023, and we literally prophesied to the next 2,500 to 4,000 years should Jesus tarry. And so when I say that I'm possessing, I'm not possessing for me and Mandy. I'm not just possessing for my children. I'm not just possessing for Living Way. I'm possessing for the next generation and the generation that gives birth to the next generation. I'm speaking and possessing not for me, but for those that follow me, for those that follow us. And we will talk in the next couple weeks that possession takes continual possessing. Possession is not a one-time thing. That's why a relationship with Jesus is so important. We want you to come to an altar to lift your hands and receive Jesus into your heart. We want him to become your Savior, but we want you to immediately start making him the Lord of your life. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In July of 1999, I made him my Savior, but for the last 24 years, I have been making him my Lord. I have been crucifying my flesh, and I have been turning a discerning ear to the Spirit of God and to heaven and to the voice of God. Why? Because my flesh isn't going to be able to possess what God has died to give me. Your flesh, as much as we work on our flesh, it is always looking for a moment to double cross and betray us. But when you get filled with the Spirit of the Lord, you wake up looking for a mountain to possess, looking for a devil to cast out, looking for a place for God to abide and inhabit. Last session we talked about possess, and when we talk about possess, there's so many definitions, not in Webster's dictionary, but when you go to Hebrew and Greek, it means to seize, it means to take hold of, it means to gain, to obtain, to win. Some of you've been losing the first 2 months of this year. It's really not losing, it's lessons. You've been learning what doesn't work, and you've been leaning into Jesus more. Could it be that the biggest loss of 2023 just made your faith double up in Jesus' name? Could it be that you've been praying for the promise and God said, oh yeah, but through the possessing process, you're going to grow so much, and I'm going to help and I'm going to teach you how to win. It says to conquer, to occupy, to hold, to acquire, to carry, to own. I love this, to get a hold of, to get your hands on it. So many things seem like they're just at the finger, out of fingertips reach. But I am here to tell you that God is either going to bring them closer to you, or God is going to bring you closer to them. And this is your season of possession. I prayed with someone in the altar during last week's outpouring, and I prayed, and they were praying for their family. And I got in their ear while I was laying hands on them, and I just felt the Spirit tell me. And I began to name their children and their grandchildren. And I said, it's time that we see what God is doing in their life. We've been praying about it long enough. Let's see God's hand work in their heart. It's time to get our hands on it. However, when we talk about possession, we also have to talk about spiritual possession. Too many times in the church, we talk about demon possession, but let's talk about Holy Spirit possession. Whatever possesses you will determine what you try to possess. Some of you have been chasing the wrong thing because you're possessed by the wrong spirit. Let me say that again. Some of us are trying to get the wrong thing and possess the wrong thing because we're possessed by the wrong spirit. Are you saying I'm demon possessed? I'm not saying you're demon possessed, but I'm saying this. The world can possess you. Culture can possess you. I'm not looking to culture to feed my appetite. I'm not looking to the world to fulfill the void in my life. I got possessed by the Holy Spirit. Spirit, which means the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, Romans says, now dwells in us as believers. I'm possessed by that spirit, which means now the direction, what I'm looking to possess and the power to possess now comes from another spirit. Remember, whoever does the possessing does the controlling. If I were you and I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit of God, I would make sure that before you leave this building today, that you come to this altar and let us help you get filled with the Holy Spirit of God with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And some of you are saying, that's weird to me. I don't know, that's kind of spooky to me. Well, it should be spooky. It's a ghost, praise God. But the speaking in tongues is not what is not the reason you get filled. That's the evidence you get filled. The reason you get filled is so you can possess and be all that God has called you to be. Bishop was at a church service a couple weeks ago, and he said, the pastor stood up and said, the moment you got saved, you got all of the Spirit and all of Jesus. You got as much of Jesus as you could get. There's nothing else to get. I'm here to tell you I've got more Jesus today than I had yesterday. And my plan is to have more Jesus in April than I had in March. The Bible talks about an ever-increasing faith. If my faith is growing, then the Spirit of God that I'm allowing in my life. You say, can Jesus get bigger? Oh, Jesus is big enough, but I sure can let him become bigger in my life. You say, how does that relate to possession? The more Jesus I have in me, the more power I have to possess. And the more power I have to possess, the more mountains we can possess. We talked about identifying what ground is yours. Caleb said, give me this mountain. But one translation said it was not a mountain. He said, give me the hill country. Let me encourage you that you're looking at one mountain, but there's a mountain behind that mountain. And there's another mountain behind those two mountains. There's a mountain chain with your name on it. Can I encourage you? You've been praying for your husband, but let's talk about your husband's family. And let's talk about your in-laws. And let's talk about your aunties and uncles. You've been talking about your job and your promotion. How about let's talk about revival breaking out on every floor of your business. Let's not just talk about what's happening at Asbury and Baylor and A&M. Let's talk about what God wants to do at Judson High School and Roosevelt High School and Madison High School. Can we just not talk about what God does on last Wednesday night? Can we talk about what God wants to do on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday? I don't want just one mountain, God. I want everything you promised me. And God, I know you didn't just promise me one thing, but God, there's a lot of mountains to possess. Identifying what ground is yours. You know how you can stay married? Remembering who you married. That's who you love. That's who you look at. That's who you text at 2 a.m. Say, she's laying next to me. I promise you, spit some game at 2 a.m. by text. It might liven things up. But when we don't take care of the one, when we don't identify that this is the promise that God has brought me, I'm going to take care of this promise. I'm going to take care of this relationship. We start having wandering eyes and we start going into fields that aren't ours and relationships that aren't ours, and we don't identify, and a lot of us lose sight of the promise of God. Just because you possess the promise doesn't mean that the possessing season is over. You've got to wake up every day saying, I got married last year, but today I'm going to stay married. I told her I loved her 20 years ago, but today, amen, I'm going to walk that love out. Somebody say amen. Being able to discern what is yours and what is not yours is paramount in the possessing process. Being able to say, this is what God has promised me. That over there is good, but it's not my promise. That over there looks good, but that's not what he promised me. He promised me this right here. And so this is where my focus is going to be. Can I just encourage and just use a little transparency here? At 41 years of age, I can tell you 41-year-old Brandon is different than 21-year-old Brandon. Because at 21, I was looking what other pastors were doing, what other churches are doing. Man, they've got this going on. Man, I'd like to have that. And God says, don't wish for something that you don't know what they had to do to get it. Because you might not be willing to go through that season of possession to get that promise. You just be faithful to the ground that I put you in. You plow that ground, and I'll bring you the promise that you're supposed to have, that you're going to be thrilled with, and it's going to meet your needs. Being able to discern what's yours and what is not yours. Listen, this church, you can write this down as much as you can, but people waste so much time and so much effort trying to possess something they were never promised. See, that's why I pray. The Word of God has almost 7,000 promises that are for every believer. 7,000 promises. But there are promises that God has made to me in prayer that are just for me and my family. Things that are specific to my world. Things that are specific to my relationships. Things that are specific to my children, to my purpose. And so when I hear from God and I talk to God and he drops that promise in me, check this out, church. You've got to fall so in love with the promiser and the promise, I don't have time to chase your promise. Because I'm so invested in my promise. I don't have time to look at what you're doing because I'm still checking with God every day saying, God, am I on the right track? God, am I talking to the right people? God, am I closer today than I've ever been? You know what discernment is? You remember when you were younger and you played hot and cold? You're cold. You're cold. You're hot. You'd hide something. You're getting hotter. You're warm. You're warm. You're getting colder. I mean, you're... That's my relationship with God. Every day I wake up and I'm saying, God, this is the way you told me to go. And God's saying, you're getting warmer. You're getting warmer. Oh, you're getting hot. You're getting hot. You're getting hot. And then I get distracted. You're getting cold. You're getting cold. What is he saying? You're not possessing. You've got your back to the mountain instead of facing the mountain. Your prayer life should make you hot, praise God. The Holy Spirit, that fire should make you hot. See, on a Wednesday night, you could have just kept going right past the exit at Living Way, and you could have been in your recliner right now. But as you left work today, and as you got all your kids ready and dropped them off at Catalyst, and as you came in the parking lot, God said, you're getting warmer. You're getting warmer. Then worship started. You lifted a hand, and God says, ooh, you're getting warmer. Ooh, it's starting to get hot. It's starting to get hot. And as the Word of God is preached, God is opening heaven and God is imparting, God is depositing, God's saying, ooh, it's getting really hot. And in just a moment, some of you are going to stand up and you're going to approach an altar, and every step you take to the altar, God's going to say, ooh, it's not warm anymore. You're getting hot. That's exactly where you need to be. But I am here to tell you, God will have those conversations with you on Tuesday, not just Wednesday and Sunday. Discerning what ground is yours. How many people married the first person they ever dated? Raise your hand. I would like to meet you. There's some hands going up. Praise God. I wish I had that kind of faith. I didn't trust me or them. Praise God. I dated one girl. Hopefully she's not watching. If you are, too bad. I dated her for 3 years. I think of all the movies we went to. I think of all the dinners we ate. I think of me at the time spending $100 and $200 on a three-month anniversary with a girlfriend. That's silly. Don't count anniversaries until you're married. Because if you're just dating and then you don't get married, your anniversary counting was 6 months I've just wasted of my life. Congratulations. I just flushed a year and a half down the drain. But I look at all, check this out now. Let's shift it spiritually. I look at all of the time, all of the money, all of the feelings and emotion I invested, get ready, in someone else's wife. Oh, you weren't ready for that. See, I'm talking about me so you wouldn't get mad. And that's just one young lady. Us fenders, we had to go through a lot to find the one. But be glad that us fenders, when we found the one, we dated a lot, but we only married one. I know some pastors that dated one and married a lot, if you know what I'm saying. So when you invest time, check this out, in a promise that's not yours, you're helping someone else in their covenant and their promise. And you say, well, I want to help them. But at the end of the day, you cannot help somebody until you've helped yourself and make sure that you are on the right path. Make sure that you are in the right relationship. Make sure that you are in the right field of the promise. Quit investing of yourself, your time, your treasure, your energy, and all of these things that God is saying, man, you've got a good heart and all that you're sowing. He says, what a great sacrifice, but you're sowing into the wrong promise. That promise is not yours. So many believers out here spending money on, spending time with, and pursuing things that are not going to be a part of the covenant that God has made with us. When you know the promise, you will know what to possess. Three things you have to do, we have to do, church. You've got to read the promise. You cannot just hear the promise twice a week at Living Way. You cannot just listen to your favorite podcast. And I encourage you to come to church as much as you can. And I encourage you to listen to great men and women that have these great podcasts. But you need to read the promise for yourself. Stop listening to an echo when you have a direct line to heaven and God will speak his promise. And when you read that promise, number two, you begin to rehearse the promise. You cannot rehearse something that you have never read. When you read something, they actually say you have a better chance of remembering it. So you read it so that you can rehearse it, and you rehearse the promise so that you can receive the promise. Some of us have not received because we refuse to read. Some of us have not received because we do not rehearse. We amen it on Sunday, but we do not declare it on Monday. We worship and praise God with our hands uplifted on Wednesday, but we do not walk it out on Thursday. God is not looking for a Caleb spirit on a Wednesday night. God is not looking for a Joshua on Sunday morning. God is looking on a Tuesday, a Thursday, or a Friday. Somebody that's got enough faith to say, God, the praise team ain't here. The preacher's not here, no stained glass and no three towers and cross, but I, like Caleb, I heard the promise of God, and I'm saying I'm ready for my mountain. Numbers 23:19, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act is a rhetorical question. Does he promise and not fulfill? I love this scripture. Let me read it again. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. He does not speak and not act. Does he not promise, or does he promise and not fulfill? Check this out. The above scripture is a promise about the promisor. It's a promise about the promise maker. It's a promise about the promise keeper. Man, God's got every side worked out. He said, my word binds me as God to carry out what my word has said. Here is a promise about me, the promisor, that what I say, I will do. The above scripture is a promise about the promise. God is the first one to guarantee the guarantee. He is the first one to promise the promise. That means what he said. There is not a chance he will fail. There is not a chance he will not come through. And sometimes he does not come through when we want him, but he always comes through on time. It may not be your time, and he might wait till the midnight hour, and you might be looking at your watch, and you might be looking at a clock. But when God shows up, he will fulfill every promise in the word of God. He guarantees the guarantee. If God never lies, That means his word never changes. I heard a woke pastor the other day, when asked the question about sexuality, same sexuality to be specific, he used a word that should never be used to describe the word of God. He said, I really don't have a firm answer for that because the word of God is still evolving. The word of God is not evolving. The word of God is not manipulated, twisted to match our lifestyle. Rather, we twist ourselves and form ourselves around the word of God. The morality that God has placed from the beginning of time is not evolving or changing. There is no such thing as situational morality. What was wrong 2,000 years ago is wrong today, and it will be wrong 2,000 years from today. What was sin 500 years ago is sin today and will forever be sin. But can I not talk about the curse? Can we talk about the blessing? If what I just said is true, that means the promise that God spoke 2,000 years ago is the same today and will be the same 2,000 years. That's why I can't get with the pastors that say God doesn't heal anymore. Nope, he healed then, he heals now, and he will heal forever. That's why I can't get with the woke crowd that says miracles and the gift of the Spirit and speaking in tongues was just for the disciples and the New Testament church. Guess what? It was New Testament then, it's New Testament now, and it will always be New Testament. It was good then, it's good now, and it will be good forever. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. For you Sandlot fans, forever. Say, how long is forever? It's 1,000,000 years times 1,000,000 years times infinity. It never ceases. The word of God created the world that we stand on today. The word of God framed the world, Hebrews 11:3. If it framed the world, it will frame your world. God said, let there be light 6,000 years ago. Tomorrow morning, wake up at 6:35. Look to the east. The word he spoke 6,000 years ago will rise up in the eastern sky in about 10 hours. You say, is God still saying, let there be light? He's not still saying it, but it's still being, it's still echoing and reverberating throughout eternity, because once he says it, it just continues forever. You say, Pastor, what does this have to do with taking the ground and possessing? You can't possess what you don't know. The promise of God, the word of God. Caleb, man, I didn't get a chance to get to it. And I've never made this distinction. God delivers, give me 2 minutes. God delivers all of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. They murmur, complain. Moses does some silly things. Gets irritated. We've all been there before. He's striking when God's telling him to speak. Just a lot of just disobedience, frustration, pressure. God said, because of that attitude, he said, none of y'all over 20 will ever get to the promised land. So now they've got to wander around for 40 years for everybody over 20 to die, so that the under 21s can possess. But when I read the word again in this season preparing for this, there was two that were over 20. Caleb was 85. Could it be that your faith and your drive to possess, but more important, the promise of God. God said, Caleb, that mountain, all the Anakims, said, that mountain chain, that's your mountain chain. After he tells Caleb that, he says, all of y'all 21 and over, you must die before anyone can get their mountain. Caleb didn't fret. Caleb didn't say, hey, God, you remember what you just told me? Caleb just said, no, when it's time, that mountain's mine. He's 85, surrounded by all these young people. And he says, now's my moment. The curse that was spoken against the nation of Israel, me and Joshua are the only ones that were over 21 that get to come in, because we know what God promised. And we know that God has given us the power to possess. And I'll leave you with this as you're standing on your feet. God said, Caleb, I'm going to give you the mountain, but you're going to have to fight for it. Said, you're not just going to walk in. If God gave you the promise, then God gave you the power to possess. If God made you the promise about your family, about your future, if God made you the promise about your prodigal, man, Tyler was just declaring some things today that I hope people were catching. If God made a promise about your marriage, God made a promise about your children, if God made a promise about your future, if God made a promise about your healing, you might say, Pastor, 10 other people have died with what the doctors have said is in my body. Well, can I tell you, Caleb, you're not going to be like everybody else. If God made the promise, then God will give you the power to possess, even at 85. Take the ground. Take the ground. Natasha met me in the aisle before service, 3 minutes before service. She said, Pastor, I've been given all week long to people at my job, I've been given to my family. She said, I've come to be filled up today. And I said the same thing that we were declaring last Wednesday night. I said, God, just like David, run her cup over. God, more than she needs, fill her up full, not halfway, not to the brim, but run it over, Jesus. Run it over in Sarah. Run it over in Desiree, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, I thank you for these that have already come to this altar today.